Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, a complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, do we have a lot to discuss. I'm going to try to pack it all in as quickly as possible, but we have so much to discuss in our opening on this week's program. First of all, I did a Hebrew video after Shabbat, on Motzei Shabbat, Saturday night. I did a video in Hebrew on Rubi Rivlin, who is the Likud president of Israel. You know, they have the office of prime minister. Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister. That's the person with real power in Israel. And then you have the president, which is supposed to be a ceremonial position. He's not supposed to be taking political positions. But all the presidents of Israel, all the phony politicians who become presidents of Israel, violate that and take political positions, always from the left, of course, always to betray Israel. And Rubi Rivlin, from the Likud, has become the president of Israel and has consistently taken extreme left-wing positions from the moment that he became president. And I did a video on one subject involving Rubi Rivlin. Rubi Rivlin decided to interfere in Bibi Netanyahu's campaign against the agreement with Iran, the nuclear agreement with Iran. Rubi Rivlin said that Bibi Netanyahu should not be speaking out against the nuclear agreement with Iran. He is hurting American-Israeli relations. He's hurting our relationship with the Obama administration. He's hurting our relationship with the anti-Semites, Barack Hussein Obama, John Kerry, and Hillary Clinton. He shouldn't be doing this. And of course, when Rubi Rivlin took this position, what he did is he gave ammunition to all of the people that want Iran to go nuclear, that want to help the Obama-Clinton-Kerry campaign to allow Iran to build hundreds of nuclear bombs. He assisted these supporters of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program because the American news media immediately seized on that, and the American news media, including a front-page story in the New York Nazi Times, they immediately seized on that and said, even the president of Israel from the Likud has said that Bibi's going too far. Why is he going too far? Just by speaking against the agreement, that's too much. Even that's too much. You're not even allowed to speak against this agreement, which paves the way for Iran to develop hundreds of nuclear bombs. We're talking about a nuclear holocaust, God forbid. Yes, Iran developing hundreds of nuclear bombs, which Iran will be able to do. With the money and the time that they're being given under this agreement, they will be able to develop and build hundreds of nuclear bombs that will be aimed at Israel and the United States. We are talking about a very high danger of a nuclear holocaust coming from this. And facing the prospect of millions of Israeli Jews being incinerated, God forbid, in a nuclear holocaust, Bibi Netanyahu is not even allowed to speak about it. If it's in any way critical of the Muslim Jew-hater Barack Hussein Osama, that's what Rubi Rivlin, the president of Israel from the Likud, says. Bibi shouldn't even be speaking about it. He's going to upset Obama. He shouldn't even be speaking about it. Now, of course, Bibi is a coward and a fraud. And he shouldn't just be speaking about it. He should order the Israeli Air Force to attack and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That's what he should have done a long time ago. And he still should do it. That's what any sane leader would do immediately when faced with the prospect of his people facing a holocaust, a nuclear holocaust. He's worried about upsetting Obama. He doesn't want to do it because he's afraid he's going to upset Obama. I mean, what unbelievable cowardice. Netanyahu is such an unbelievable coward, and how sick all of the Jews are that defend him and that think that he's a hardliner and he's really showing and he's really giving it to Iran. I mean, he's making speeches while they're building hundreds of nuclear bombs to murder millions of Jews, and he's making speeches. That's all he's doing, is making speeches, even though Israel has the military capability to destroy most of that program and set them back at least 5 years. And by the way, if you set them back, they've spent hundreds of billions of dollars on this. They may not have the money. They may not have the resources or the ability to rebuild the whole program again. This could be a permanent solution if you destroy their nuclear program. They may not have the money, and the Iranian people may not have the will to go through that type of suffering again to rebuild it all from scratch. But instead of taking this action that any sane leader would automatically take without hesitation when his people are facing, any leader whose people are facing the possibility of a Holocaust where millions of Jews could be annihilated and the Iranians are promising a Holocaust, and all he does is give speeches? I mean, what an obscenity. And then Ruby Rivlin, the president, says even giving speeches, that's too much. That's too much. And so Ruby Rivlin stabs Israel in the back. Ruby Rivlin, the president of Israel from the Likud, stabbed, and the Likud is supposed to be the so-called right-wing party. Look how the phony right is even worse than the left. Ruby Rivlin stabs Israel in the back, and Ruby Rivlin even stabs the senators and congressmen and many Americans who are opposed to this agreement. By a 2-to-1 margin, according to the polls, the American people are against this agreement because even they realize how insane this is. He stabs all of the opponents of the agreement in the back, all of them, to show how enlightened and how progressive he is and have the Israeli left-wing media praise him. What a disgusting, evil, vile individual he is. So I did a video about this and explained how he's stabbing everybody in the back, how and the terrible effect of what he's doing and how he supports Iran's nuclear... He's in effect supporting Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. He's in effect... Ruby Rivlin is paving the way for Iran to build nuclear bombs. And I mentioned this, that he supports Iran and he supports Obama against Israel, just so that he'll be praised by the left-wing news media. Something which any sane Jew would have to agree with. So the newspaper Ma'ariv, which is also from the phony right, this is a Likud newspaper that's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be a so-called right-wing newspaper, supports the Likud. This hideous newspaper, with, on their online edition, did a big article, and thankfully they publicized my video, but they did a big article attacking me and attacking what I said, lying, the whole article full of lies, full of the most biased reporting. But they did a big article attacking us, attacking the Jewish Task Force, attacking me, saying that I represent the extreme right, going through a whole distorted history of everything and just distorting everything, lying about everything, even misquoting me. But in any event, at least Israeli Jews see the article and it has publicized our video and it brings attention to our point of view and people see. At least people see that someone is saying making speeches is not enough, that we must destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. So we're getting attention. The Israeli news media is paying attention to us. Our videos are getting attention. They're catching the attention of reporters and of politicians and of others in Israel. And it's important, even if they condemn us, I don't care if they condemn us, it's important that someone speak up and tell the truth. We can't be silent, and at least someone is standing for the truth. And I think we in JTF can be very proud of the fact that we're taking that stand, and God willing, I hope through some miracle, that it somehow influences things and wakes enough people up. By the way, the response on YouTube and on Facebook, despite the attacks from Ma'ariv and from the Likud, the response to our video is overwhelmingly positive. The vast majority of people responding to the video are responding in a positive way to what I said on that Hebrew video. So their attempts to smear us and attack us and lie and misquote me, that's not working. And it's not going to work because we have the truth on our side. So that's one thing that happened this week. In fact, it just happened today. The article in Ma'ariv is today. It just appeared today. But something else happened, and it's very disturbing in the past several days. Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon, who, like Ruby Rivlin, is another self-hating Jew, another vile, disgusting individual, an evil person, from the Likud again, he's the so-called Defense Minister of Israel, he has already ordered three Jewish heroes, including Meir Ettinger. Meir Ettinger is the grandson of our beloved leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Gadosh Livracha, three Jewish heroes, including Meir Ettinger, have now been given six-month prison terms. At least six months in prison. Even though they are charged with no crime, they will have no trial. They are not allowed to see any attorney. This is called administrative detention. The British mandatory forces, when the British Empire was occupying the land of Israel, they put this law on the books for the British mandate, a law which they would never use in England against British citizens. There is no law like this in England against British citizens because it's so fascistic, it's so anti-democratic. It violates every rule of basic human rights and human decency. But the evil leaders of Israel, the evil, traitorous, corrupt leaders of Israel, kept this law in order to use it against Jewish heroes. And they're using it against three Jewish heroes, all the Arab Nazi Knesset members who openly call for Israel's annihilation, openly praise all the terrorist organizations trying to destroy Israel, openly defend Iran, openly defend all of Israel's enemies. Not only are they not put in administrative detention, not only are they not charged with anything or ever arrested, they're allowed to sit in the Knesset in Israel's parliament. I, of course, am not allowed to even step foot in Israel. And Jewish heroes, at least three Jewish heroes already, have been put in prison and will serve at least 6 months in prison, unless, God willing, we can get them out somehow. Right now, they're scheduled to serve at least 6 months in prison, even though they have done nothing wrong and have broken no laws and have only stood for the truth. They have done nothing wrong. If they broke any laws, put them on trial. Present your evidence. They have no evidence because it's all a lie. They have done nothing wrong. They're completely innocent, have done nothing wrong. The only thing they've done, their only so-called crime, is that they've spoken up against the evil policies of this government and of the establishment in Israel that is programming death and destruction for the Jewish people. Spiritual death and destruction by encouraging assimilation, by encouraging intermarriage, by encouraging the destruction of Jewish moral values, and physical death and destruction by allowing Arab terrorists and murderers and barbarians to come in and kill and murder Jews, and by allowing our Iranian enemies to build nuclear bombs to incinerate all of Israel, God forbid. And so, by speaking up against these policies and just telling the truth, for that they have been put in prison. Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East? That's democracy? What a farce. We're not going to be silent about it. We're going to speak up about it. And by the way, Naftali Bennett, from the so-called Jewish Home Party, it should be called the Anti-Jewish Home Party. Naftali Bennett from the Anti-Jewish Home Party, he's another so-called right-winger, he says that Jewish terrorists, quote-unquote, should get the death penalty. He wants to give the death penalty to Jewish heroes, whom he refers to as terrorists, even though they didn't do anything wrong. He wants to give them the death penalty. Huh. What a low, evil, this animal who voted to release huge numbers of Arab terrorist mass murderers. This animal who said 99.9% of the Arabs are loyal to Israel. The Arab Muslims, he says, 99.9% of the Muslims support Israel and are loyal to Israel. That's the type of statements this pig has made. And he is called right wing. What an insane generation we live in. And JTF is so essential. Who tells this truth other than us? Who tells this truth? No one. Now, of course, the Jewish heroes that are in prison now, they tell this truth. But in terms of people who promote videos and do the things that we're doing, nobody else tells the truth. Nobody else, except for the Jewish heroes that the true Jewish heroes in Judea and Samaria, the Jewish activists in Judea and Samaria, who are trying to save Israel from national suicide, they're telling the truth also. But we're the only official organization that is telling the truth and that is standing, truly standing, for defense of lawful behavior in Israel, because it is unlawful what they're doing. What they're doing to these Jews is completely illegal. It's a violation of all of their basic human rights. It's completely illegal. It's the worst type of anti-Semitism. They never do this to Arab Muslims. They never would put Arab Muslims in prison for just expressing their point of view. Never. Arab Muslim Nazis who call for genocide against Jews sit in the Knesset. while Jewish heroes, noble, brave Jewish heroes who want to protect the Jewish people, are sitting in prison. And while I have to sit in the exile solely because I'm telling the truth to the Jewish people. That's the injustice we face in Israel, and that's why we can't be silent, and our message is so important. We're the one voice of truth in this generation, and we have to keep speaking out and have to keep fighting for the truth. That's the grim situation in Israel, putting good Jewish heroes in prison, but they're not going to break them. I know these Jews. These Jews will not be broken. And God will certainly reward these Jews tremendously for their wonderful sacrifices for the Jewish people, and will punish the evil people who put them in prison. The people who put them in prison are going to be put in administrative detention for a very long time in the next world. And the administrative detention they're going to be put in is going to be a very rough and hot place. Because they're not only guilty of imprisoning their fellow Jews, all the Jews that are murdered, all the Jew by Arab terrorists, all the terrible things that are happening to Israel, all the danger they put the Jewish people in, they're going to pay for all of it. They're going to answer for all of it when God judges them on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. Now, that's the situation in Israel. So we're getting attention. The media is paying attention to us, and we're getting attention, and our videos are getting attention, and we're speaking out. And we're telling the truth. And thank God there's at least one group that does tell the truth. Thank God. In the United States, I mean, we have so much news this week. In the United States, of course, we had the first debate. And let me tell you something. Ted Cruz won that debate hands down. He was perfect in that debate. He won that debate, no question about it. He's the only true conservative out of the 10 people that were on that stage, and the seven that were on the earlier debate, none of them are real conservatives. The only true conservative, the only one who's really true to his principles, is Ted Cruz. And he won that debate, no question about it. The problem is, he got almost no time in the debate. You know, they talk about Fox being biased against Donald Trump. We wish Ted Cruz would get one quarter of the attention Donald Trump is getting. They completely ignored Ted Cruz. They hardly called upon him. Now, when they did call upon him, everything he said was magnificent. But they hardly called upon him. They hardly gave him a chance to speak. At one point, for 40 minutes, he was not called upon with any questions, anything, while everybody else was being called upon. At one point, for 40 minutes, he was completely ignored and not even called upon. That is bias. That's the bias of Fox, because Fox is also part of the Republican establishment. And I'm not going to talk about bias, but Fox was biased against Donald Trump. I don't care about them being biased against Donald Trump. Donald Trump has it coming to him. He deserves it. He's gotten so much attention. He deserves to be attacked. He deserves to be grilled. He's a disgrace to the Republican Party and a disgrace to the conservative cause. He's not a conservative in any way. He's a complete fraud, and he's destroying the chances for real conservatives to save the United States, to save Israel, to save the world from a nuclear Iran. He is creating problems for our effort to do that. So I don't care about Donald Trump. But Ted Cruz I do care about, because he offers hope to us. Now, Ted Cruz won the debate hands down. The media completely ignores Ted Cruz. They don't even discuss him. They keep promoting Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and Carly Fiorina, if you notice, even though Ted Cruz was better than all of them. But they keep promoting Marco Rubio. John Kasich was not even interesting in the debate. He was such a colorless, pathetic zero. And of course, he's a leftist. He supported Obamacare. He introduced Obamacare, Medicaid programs in Ohio. I mean, a complete leftist. So the media loves him, and the Fox and the Republican establishment, they love him too. He's electable. If he's a leftist, he's electable. Even though every time we nominate people like that, like John McCain and Mitt Romney and Bob Dole, even though every time we nominate leftists like that, they lose. In any event, and they keep promoting Marco Rubio from the Gang of Eight. Marco Rubio and the Gang. What is the Gang of Eight? There were eight senators that got together and said, let's figure out a way to give citizenship to 30 million illegal aliens. And Marco Rubio was their voice, was their spokesman, to try to convince conservatives to support this. They passed the legislation in the Senate to give full amnesty and full citizenship to 30 million illegal aliens. Marco Rubio was the sponsor. Marco Rubio was their spokesman. And now he's being promoted as a candidate for president. And they're calling him a conservative. He's a complete establishment catastrophe, a nightmare. Carly Fiorina, another establishment phony. Another establishment phony who also supported amnesty. Who also took left-wing stands on the issues. Complete phony. Anyway, the one candidate who's true and honest, this is the generation we live in, Ted Cruz, they try to ignore. But guess what? I have to say I'm pleased that the Republican, some Republican primary voters have enough common sense to see through this. An NBC poll, which they're hiding from us, they're practically giving us, practically getting no attention, but the poll was taken for NBC. Just came out today. Ted Cruz is in second place with 13% of the vote now among Republican voters nationwide. He's in second place right behind Donald Trump. Second place. Now, you would never know. You'd never know he has even one supporter with the media. The media completely ignore him. And yet, at the Red State gathering, which is a gathering of conservative activists, he was the one who had the most support. Everybody said that they cheered him. They were screaming, Ted, Ted, Ted. They gave him standing ovations. All the candidates were there. Almost all nine of the candidates were there. The only one who got that reception was Ted Cruz. And he's in second place now behind Donald Trump, even though he's being completely ignored by the media and being treated very unfairly. So there still may be some hope. God willing. Od lo avda tikvatenu, it says in the Israeli national anthem. Our hope is not yet lost. Maybe our hope is not yet lost. Maybe Ted Cruz still might pull out from under this and surprise us all. If he could just somehow get enough attention. You put a microphone in front of that guy, he is so talented. He's such a good speaker. He's such a good debater. Give him the chance. And he just, you know, God willing, let's hope he can pull this off after all. We're going to do everything we can, of course, to help him. If you agree that we have to tell the truth about what's happening in Israel, that we have to tell the truth about the Iranian nuclear catastrophe, that we have to expose traitors like Rubi Rivlin, the so-called president of Israel, when he undermines even criticizing the deal he says we're not allowed to do, when you have traitors like this that are stabbing the Jewish people in the back, if you agree that there has to be one group that calls them out and attacks them for it, and attacks these traitors for their evil backstabbing behavior. If you agree that there has to be at least one group that speaks out when Jewish heroes, when noble Jewish heroes who committed no crime, who never did anything wrong, are put in prison solely because of their political views, solely because they're loyal to the Torah and loyal to the land of Israel and loyal to the Jewish people. If you agree, someone has to speak out about that. And we have an obligation, a God-given obligation that Hashem imposes on us to speak out. God help everybody, everyone who sits back and watches this and does nothing about it. If you agree, and if you agree that we have to help Ted Cruz with our Jews for Cruz campaign, because if Ted Cruz gets in, he's the one guy who I think would save us from a nuclear Iran, God willing. You agree with all that? And I know our great JTFers agree, then help us. Help us with our videos, help promote our videos, help us with our news pages, pray for our success. And yes, we need your financial support, because that's our downfall. That's our real downfall. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to our post office box make a big difference. God bless the great JTFers who send checks, money orders, and cash donations to the post office box and help us. Every donation helps us. It makes us stronger. It enables us to reach more people. It enables us to do more good. And God only knows how much that's needed now more than ever. And if you prefer, instead of sending it through the mail, sending a check or a money order or cash donation through the mail, if you'd prefer to do it online with your credit card for convenience sake, that's fine too. You just go to the donate button on our Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. You go to the donate button on hayamin.org and you can very easily and conveniently donate to us online. By the way, our English main page is jtf.org, of course. So, very busy, very active week. And there was a lot to talk about on the program. And let's hope, God willing, that we can make a difference so that we can make this a better world. And so that we can try to turn the tide by telling the truth. We're not allowed to be silent. We must tell the truth. We must stand up for what's right. Even sometimes when it's unpopular, even if it's unpopular, there has to be someone who stands up for morality and for truth and for justice. And that's something that at least you know JTF will do, and will do so with loyalty. All right, let's go to our questioners now, and we start out with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Your thoughts on the following dead people: Andy Kaufman," and then there's a list of four people here. We start out with Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman, for those of you who don't know, was a Jewish actor and comedian. He died of lung cancer. He was in his 30s. I think he was 35 years old. This is a guy who became a big comedian, big famous comedian and an actor in the 70s and 80s. He starred in Taxi, that television program, which was a sitcom, and he became pretty famous. He was on Saturday Night Live. He became pretty famous. He never did one thing that I know of, at least, to actually make this a better world. And even though he was a Jew, he spent his life with, transcendental meditation and yoga and all these other things. Never had any interest in Judaism or the Jewish religion. At one point, if I'm not mistaken, he converted at one point outside of the Jewish faith. He actually converted to another religion, if I'm not mistaken. But I know he was involved with yoga and transcendental meditation, all types of other things. But never doing anything to really make this a better world, even though he had the money and the fame and the opportunity to do great things. What a waste. And the second person that you asked me about is Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger is the actor who starred in Brokeback Mountain, that disgusting, evil, homosexual movie about homosexual so-called cowboys. I mean, what a sick movie. This guy died at age 28 from an overdose of prescription drugs. He couldn't sleep at night, and so he was taking prescription drugs to try to fall asleep. And they killed him in the end. He was only 28 years old. They killed him. What a terrible waste. Another example of a terrible, wasted life. And of course, he actually did evil. I mean, he starred in a movie that promoted homosexuality. I mean, he promoted evil. And then the third person you asked me about is Amy Winehouse. Well, she's a Jewish singer from England. She spent her life imitating blacks. She was a drug addict and an alcoholic. In the end, she died because she chain smoked. She would chain smoke crack cocaine. She was a crack addict. She actually was found dead because of excessive drinking. But, the impact of the drugs and the drinking and everything, the booze and the dope and everything else she was taking. She was 27 years old. She died. Again, she lived a terrible life. She was immoral. She was influencing the world in a bad way. And in the end, it all came to a crashing end. Terrible. Terrible tragedy. And then Marvin Gaye. The final person you asked me about is Marvin Gaye. He was a black singer. He from Motown. He was shot to death by his own father. I think he was in his 40s when he was shot to death. I don't remember exactly, but I know he was in his 40s. I don't remember exactly what his age was. His own father shot him to death. He had drugs in his system when he was shot to death. He sang degenerate music. He was a drug addict. He sang degenerate music. Just another horrible life. So that's those all four people in the entertainment business, all losing their lives at early ages, all for nothing. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what did you think of the first Republican debate? Thanks," unquote. Joe, you read my mind. I already discussed this in my opening. If you listen to my opening, your question will be answered. Thank you, Joe. We go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, was Conrad Adenauer evil? Two, what should he have done instead of becoming chancellor? Three, is he in a very warm place now?" Okay, for those of you who don't know, Conrad Adenauer was the first chancellor of Germany after World War II, after the surrender of Nazi Germany. The Germans put him there. They put him, and pretty much the Allies wanted to put him there as well, in charge, because he fled Nazi Germany during the war. He himself was not a Nazi during the war, so they figured, oh, we'll stick someone who fled and was not a Nazi during the war to show that we've changed, that we, you know, to show we're not Nazis anymore. But it was all it was all just an act. He was evil because he spent his life trying to rehabilitate Germany's image. Germany didn't deserve to have their image rehabilitated. Germany was a monstrous nation of mass murderers who committed the worst crime in human history, and they didn't deserve any of the good things that were done for them. They deserved to have done to them what they did to 6 million Jews. That's what the German murderers deserve to have done to them. Anyway, and of course they will get that justice in the next world. So don't think that because most of that generation is gone, oh, you see how unjust, in this world there is injustice. Because God can't openly punish all the evil and reward all the good. He can't do that in this world. If he does that in this world, we won't have free will anymore. Everybody will be righteous because everybody will see, oh my God, what a price you pay unless you do what God says. So there'll be no more free will. There'll be no more Bechirah Chofshit. Bechirah Chofshit is free will. But in any event, and there is some measure of justice in this world, but the real justice, Midah Keneged Midah, which means measure for measure, the real justice is in the next world. Konrad Adenauer, he took on the mission of trying to help the Germans who murdered 6 million Jews and picking them up and improving their image around the world and even convincing 6 self-hating, cowardly Jews that it was okay now to do business with Germany and to help, and to accept reparations and do business and become part of and have relationships with the Germans again. Konrad Adenauer was their point man in doing that, in making the German Nazis kosher again. And that was a terrible crime. And I do believe he's being punished for that severely. Benjamin now writes, Ford, discuss the white man who went to Africa in order to kill a lion, unquote. I love animals. I don't like to see animals killed for no reason. But people who are more worried about a lion than tens of millions of babies who have been murdered, unborn babies who have been murdered in the United States with abortions, or the 3 million babies, Jewish babies, who have been murdered in Israel because of abortions since the founding of the state. Yes, I think 2 or 3 million, something like that, 2 or 3 million babies have been, Jewish babies have been aborted in Israel, and people are just worried about the lion. That's what they're worried about. They don't care about human beings being slaughtered. They're only worried about the lion. I think it's an obscenity. Thank you, Benjamin. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, can you please tell me about the Irgun, who the Irgun were, that supposedly Rahm Emanuel's father was a part of, unquote. Okay, Rahm Emanuel is the mayor of Chicago. He's a self-hating Jew, strong supporter of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, was Barack Hussein Obama's chief of staff. This filthy pig, this self-hating Jew, you know, his father came from Israel. His father says he was in the Irgun. Who knows if that's true? Everybody says they were in the Irgun. It's like every, you know, how many people have told me they were in JDL? They don't even know who I am when they say it. They don't know that I was the chairman of the JDL, that I would know if they were in JDL. But you know how many, I mean, at least 1 million Jews, I'm exaggerating, of course, but so many people have told me, oh, I was in JDL, and I was here, and I was, you know, just make it up. I mean, it's very easy to make history up, and people make things up. So, I don't know if he was in the Irgun. The Irgun, which in Hebrew, we call it Etzel. Etzel stands for Ha'irgun Hatzvayi Haleumi. Ha'irgun Hatzvayi Haleumi, and the letters, the short letters of it, it's known as Etzel in Hebrew. Etzel was an underground organization of Jewish freedom fighters, a heroic organization. Menachem Begin was the commander, even though Menachem Begin was a terrible, horrific, nightmarish prime minister who gave away the Sinai, gave away huge amounts of land, had a very destructive effect upon Israel, a terrible prime minister. But when he was a commander in the underground Irgun, he was a hero. What can I say? At one point he was a hero, then he became a disaster when he became prime minister. But Etzel was an organization of Jewish heroes, and they were responsible, with God's help, of course. They were responsible for throwing the British out of the land of Israel, removing the British Empire. It was the breathtaking, incredible bravery and miraculous victories that they won in their strikes against the British are something every Jew should learn about. And they were indeed an organization of incredible Jewish heroes. But unfortunately, they were secular, most of them. And so the children of a lot of these Jewish heroes have become, you know, became terrible Jews. Tzipi Livni, Ehud Olmert, you know, they're leftists now, a lot of the children of them, because they're secular. If you're going to be a secular nationalist, it's not going to last. If you're going to be a secular nationalist, it doesn't work. You have to have a religious Torah basis for your love for Israel, otherwise it's not going to last. Is it possible his father was part of this heroic or underground organization? I don't know. But I do know that his son, Rahm Emanuel, is a vicious, self-hating, Judenrat Kapo traitor. The worst type of traitor, who is working to destroy Israel and who worked with Obama and Clinton. He used to encourage Obama and Clinton to pressure Israel even more. He is the most vile example of a Jewish anti-Semite. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Lewinsky Stings, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, 10 years after disengagement, quote unquote, typical Israeli Jews haven't learned a damn thing, unquote. That's very true. That's very true. I mean, the so-called disengagement is really the expulsion from Gush Katif when 10,000 Jews were expelled from their homes, and it's true. Most Israelis really haven't learned what they should have learned from this. No question about it. It's a terrible tragedy. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, also describe the sickness by which typical Israelis are more outraged by one Arab baby allegedly killed by Jewish radicals than by hundreds of Jewish children murdered through Fakistinian, Lebanese, Egyptian, and Iranian, Islamic, and Christian, quote-unquote, terror over the decades. Won't God judge this perversion, unquote? It is a disgusting reality, and it's part of the ugly self-hatred. After 2,000 years of living without a homeland, the Jews became a sick people, an insane people. And we see this ugly, sick self-hatred over and over again. And this is self-hating behavior. This is self-hating behavior. How Jews are so upset if an Arab gets killed in retaliation for the mass murder of Jews. It's just, it's sick beyond words. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks, and that's why JTF is essential. We've got to break through this and we've got to stop it. We're essential for this. Again, thank you, Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks. We go now to Righteous Sword 007, who writes, and I quote, what do you think of Bensi Gopstein and Lehava, unquote. Bensi Gopstein is a very good Jew, and Lehava is an excellent Jewish organization that fights against Jewish assimilation and intermarriage and tries to rescue Jewish girls who have been, in some cases, practically taken hostage by Arabs or who unfortunately go out with Arabs. Lehava tries to rescue them. Lehava is an excellent Jewish organization, and Bensi Gopstein is a good Jew. Righteous Sword now writes, also Meir Ettinger is the grandson of Rabbi Kahana. I spoke about him in my opening. He is a Jewish hero. He's a wonderful Jew. He has never broken any laws. And by the way, Bensi Gopstein also has never broken any laws. They never broke any laws solely because of their law-abiding views and their political opinions. These individuals and groups are persecuted. Righteous Sword now writes, they have been in the news a lot recently, unquote. Yes, that's true. All smears and lies against them. They're all wonderful Jews, and JTF supports them. And JTF will do everything we can to defend innocent Jews who are persecuted solely because of their political opinions. Thank you, Righteous Sword. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, writes, and I quote, one, what are Carson's goals exactly, unquote? Well, you know, I think Ben Carson is on an ego trip. Why is he running for president? Based on what? The fact that he was a surgeon? The fact that he grew up in Detroit? I mean, this is ridiculous. He's not qualified to be president. He doesn't have the slightest idea as to what it takes to be the leader of the United States and the most important leader in the world. And he said his goal is the same as Al Sharpton's goal. He met with Al Sharpton. He praised Al Sharpton. and they praised each other and complimented each other. And he said his goal is the same as Al Sharpton's. Ben Carson is black, by the way. So he's certainly not a true black conservative. He's a complete phony. And it's all an ego trip. And I can't understand, the stupidity, the sheer stupidity of people supporting someone like this is beyond my comprehension. It's just beyond my understanding how people could be so damn stupid. Dr. Dan now writes, two, ultimate curse to Herzl, Ben-Gurion, Golda, Rabin, Perez, Bibi. Okay, unquote. Okay, Dr. Dan is asking if we give the ultimate curse. Some of them, yes. Some of them I will. Ben-Gurion was responsible for the Holocaust. He and Jewish leaders could have prevented the Holocaust if they had all united behind Jabotinsky's plan to stop the Holocaust, to open the doors of the land of Israel, prevent the British from closing the doors to Israel, from preventing the escape. The Jews of Europe could have escaped and could have been saved. Ben-Gurion was responsible for that. He collaborated with the British who were closing the doors. He helped the British. He had joint patrols. The Haganah and the British had joint patrols to keep Jews who were trying to flee Nazi-occupied Europe, to keep them out of the land of Israel. So he certainly deserves the ultimate curse. So does Golda Meir. She was a traitor, a wretched, ugly, filthy traitor, who also said that you should turn over members of the Jewish underground groups that were fighting against the British, that were trying to save the Jewish people. She said, turn them over to the British. She said, fire them from their jobs, turn them over to the British. That's what she also said, Golda Meir. Complete traitor. She also is responsible for 3,000 young Jews being murdered, 3,000 young Jewish soldiers being murdered for no reason in the Yom Kippur War. Again, because she wanted to prove that Israel didn't attack first. She wanted to prove, and that's why you had the disastrous results of the Yom Kippur War. Could have been just as good as the 1967 Six-Day War if Israel had struck first. But she didn't want to strike first because then they would have said, oh, you struck first. She was afraid it would upset Nixon and Kissinger and the media. So 3,000 young Jews had to pay with their lives because of this beast's concern about showing how enlightened she is. She certainly deserves it. Yitzhak Rabin, he is a mass murderer. He murdered 16 Jewish heroes from Etzel, from the Irgun Tzvai Leumi on the Alta Lena. Jewish Holocaust survivors from this Jewish freedom fighting organization were coming into Tel Aviv with Jewish weapons. He murdered them in cold blood. He was also responsible for Oslo. And so thousands of Jews have been murdered because of this animal, Yitzhak Rabin. He deserves the ultimate curse. So does Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres has been behind every evil thing that has happened to the state of Israel for decades now. He is a complete traitor to the Jewish people. And so I would say yes to Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, Yitzhak Rabin, Shimon Peres, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. Absolutely, they deserve it. Herzl, I think, was a bad person. He did terrible things, but I want to be cautious about giving him the ultimate curse. I don't know if I'll give him the ultimate curse, even though he did suggest at one point that the Jews should all convert to Christianity. He went to the Pope and told and offered to the Pope. He wanted to offer the Pope that the Jews should all become Catholics and become baptized. I mean, just he said terrible things. He was a very bad person. He did work, though, to create a Jewish state for his own bad reasons. He wanted to create it in Uganda. I don't know about giving him the ultimate curse. So I'll be a little careful about giving him the ultimate curse, though. And Bibi, I'm not going to give him the ultimate curse, even though I think he's a terrible leader and done terrible things, and I think he deserves punishment, and he's going to be punished for it. But again, I don't know about giving him the ultimate curse. I'm going to be cautious about him. So, and Dr. Dan now writes, three, is the Arab in Israel a rodef? Unquote. Arabs who want to destroy Israel are rodfim. The Arabs who want to destroy Israel are rodfim. And certainly the majority of Arabs in Israel, the vast majority, have indicated they do want to destroy Israel. It's very clear. 95% of them vote for Arab parties that call for Israel's destruction. So the Arabs that are Jew haters and that want to destroy the Jewish people, they are rodfim. They are pursuers of Jewish blood. Now, does that mean we should go out and start slaughtering them? Well, I don't think I have said, and this is what I said on my video, I urge Jews not to do things like that just because the evil establishment people are much stronger than us and they can easily arrest us and put us away for the rest of our lives. And so it's not worth it. It's not, the price is not worth paying. And so what I would urge people to do instead is try to wake the Jewish people up so we can have a real Jewish government that will do what must be done, which is to encourage the Arabs to leave the land of Israel. That means people should support us to help us wake the Jewish people up. Dr. Dan now writes, talk about revenge. Well, I mean, revenge, nekama, revenge is a Jewish concept and a Jewish, and it is a Jewish commandment. It says that you're not allowed to get revenge against your fellow Jews. Against your fellow Jews. And that's assuming they're not Jewish traitors. But otherwise, revenge is very much a Jewish concept and very much a Jewish commandment. The problem is, we have a government and a police and an army that don't believe in that, and that instead victimize the Jewish victims, victimize them again. And so the only thing we can do is speak out and protest and try to wake the Jews up of Israel so that we can change and replace these evil leaders that have brought us to this terrible situation. Thank you, Dr. Dan. We go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom, your thoughts on the undisclosed Qataris donating gold ingots to the Temple Institute," unquote. I'm very skeptical about that, that the Qataris are actually doing that. I mean, is that really happening? I mean, I know the Qatari Muslims finance terrorism and finance groups on the Temple Mount, the Arab Nazi groups on the Temple Mount that are calling for our destruction. The Qatari regime and Qataris are giving them a lot of money and give a lot of money to Arab terrorists in Israel. You mean there's a rumor that there are other Qataris who are donating gold ingots to the Temple Institute? I really doubt that that's happening. I'm not saying it's impossible that even an evil nation like Qatar, I don't know how you say it in English, but Qatar is what we say in Hebrew. Even an English evil nation like Qatar or these other evil Arab nations, you sometimes have exceptions and you have rare examples of righteous people in these nations. So the possibility that there are a handful of righteous people even in this very evil Muslim nation, that possibility exists. But that they would be donating gold ingots to the Temple Institute, I'm very, very skeptical about that. Hiram now writes, "Please discuss Jefferson's war on the Barbary pirates," unquote. Okay. The Barbary pirates were Arab Muslims from Morocco and Tripoli, which is today Libya, and Tunisia, from North Africa. They were North African Muslim pirates who were stopping American merchant ships and were demanding ransom, demanding to be paid ransom. And so President Thomas Jefferson decided that he was not going to allow this to happen over 200 years ago, and he went to war. There were two wars that they launched, and they lasted several years. Two wars the United States launched, and this is when the United States was a very small, poor agricultural country. It was a small, weak, poor agricultural country with maybe 3 million, 4 million people living in the whole United States. But President Thomas Jefferson did not allow American citizens to be stopped on the high seas and blackmailed like that. He went to war, and the Muslim Nazi pirates were defeated. He went to the four different countries in North Africa he went to war with, and they were defeated by the United States. It was the first U.S. military campaign after the Revolutionary War. And by the way, it shows how Rand Paul and Ron Paul and all these other groups that say we can't stand up to Islamic terrorism, or we can't do anything abroad or overseas, complete baloney. But they say, well, it's because it's the Constitution, it's not constitutional. What nonsense. What nonsense. The founding fathers did not tolerate Americans being victimized by terrorism or blackmail or hostage taking or attempts to extort ransom out of them. The founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, and the founding fathers did not tolerate this. So Rand Paul and Ron Paul and all the isolationists, Pat Buchanan and all the other isolationists, are lying. The founding fathers did favor taking strong action when Americans came under attack anywhere in the world. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to Mensch, who writes, and I quote, one, Fox and Megyn Kelly did a hatchet job on Trump, biased, unquote. Well, maybe they were, but I think Trump had it coming to him. He's gotten a free ride and massive publicity that he doesn't deserve. He's a complete fraud. He tries to pass himself off as a Republican and even as a conservative when he's neither. Most of the money he's given over the years were to left-wing Democrats. He gave money to Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, John Kerry, Harry Reid, Ted Kennedy, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. I mean, I could go on and on. He gave $100,000 to the corrupt Clinton Foundation. And he said he did this because he was a businessman and you have to buy them off. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So he's helping all these evil people and evil causes because he wants to get dishonest favors and corrupt, sleazy favors from corrupt, sleazy politicians. Very interesting. And what are the favors he wanted? He gave the Clintons all this money. The reason he gave the Clintons all this money, he said in the debate, was because he wanted to get Hillary Clinton to come to his wedding. So he gives the Clinton Foundation $100,000 and gives money to Clinton's campaigns because he wants her to come to his wedding. Just everything about him is ego and megalomania and corruption and flip-flopping and having no true position and worshiping himself. I mean, it's so disgusting. I'm sorry, he had it coming to him. If you want to complain about Fox bias and Megyn Kelly bias, let's complain about the biases I mentioned in my opening toward Ted Cruz. That was real bias. They completely ignored Ted Cruz, and they ignore him every night on Fox. They give him very little attention because they know that if they give him attention, he'll win. Okay, Mansch now writes, and I quote, two, if Jeb Bush is nominated, it would be a landslide by Democrats the likes we have never seen before, unquote. I agree with you entirely, Mansch. Jeb Bush is a disaster. He's so weak. You know, he's actually even a weaker candidate than his father and his brother. And they were pathetic. His father got elected only because he was Ronald Reagan's vice president, and Ronald Reagan was very popular. But when he ran for re-election, he was defeated by Bill Clinton. You know, I mean, Jeb Bush is pathetic. It would be absolutely disastrous. I agree with you completely. Thank you, Mensch. We go now to Sparky, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I was completely surprised to hear that Schmuck Schumer plans to vote against the Iran deal. Your thoughts, unquote. Well, I certainly was not surprised to see that because that's the, you know, they all play this double game. Schmuck Schumer, Congressman Steve Israel, Congressman Elliot Engel, all these left-wing self-hating Jews who are in the Congress, in the House, in the Senate. They pretend to be pro-Israel, but then they support Barack Hussein Obama for president and raise millions of dollars for Barack Hussein Obama. They raise huge sums of money, and Schmuck Schumer has raised huge sums of money for all the people that are giving us the Iran deal. And then he personally is going to vote against it because he knows it's going to pass anyway. He knows they're not going to get... They need to get a two-thirds majority to override Obama's veto because the Republican sellouts passed the law saying that they have to disapprove it and then Obama can override their veto. I mean, and then Obama can veto it and they have to override the veto. There's no way they're going to get two-thirds majority in both houses. I don't think so. I don't think so. So he's going to vote against it and protect his tuchus, protect his backside and pretend that he's pro-Israel, he's staunchly pro-Israel. Baloney. Just baloney. He has spent a lifetime helping Obama and helping all these leftists get into the White House and have the power to do what they're doing to the Jewish people. So he can't wash away his sins against Israel by having this symbolic vote against it that isn't going to affect anything in the end anyway. Thank you, Sparky. We go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, do you believe that Mike Huckabee's chances of winning the Republican nomination have increased significantly since the start of the 2016 campaign, unquote? No, I don't. I don't think he has any chance. I don't think he has any chance of winning at all. The one shot we have is Ted Cruz. And I love Mike Huckabee. I think Mike Huckabee is a wonderful person and very sincere, supporter of Israel and a wonderful human being, and I love Mike Huckabee. I'd love him to be president, but he doesn't have any chance of winning. The one guy that I do think has a chance, and even he, in his case, the odds are overwhelmingly against him too, but at least he has some chance. There's some scenario where you could see him winning, and that candidate is Ted Cruz. Thank you, EB. We go now to Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, Todah Rabba Lecha, for saying a prayer for my father Shmuel. Oh, it's my pleasure, Maimonides. Alav HaShalom. May he rest in peace. And I'm sure that, our prayers for him and the fact that we remember him and the fact that we care about him, that's very important for his soul. That's very important to elevate his soul. Maimonides now writes, why is the Shiva annulled on certain holidays? The Shiva is the 7 days where we sit, mourn the 7 first days after the death of a close relative, where we sit and mourn their death. On certain holidays, it's annulled because we're required, we're commanded to be joyous on those holidays. The same thing is true for Shabbat, for the Sabbath. There's certain times we're required to be joyous, and it's very, very hard to be joyous when you've lost a loved one that you really care about. When my father died, even though I believe in the next world, and I believe in Techiyat HaMetim, in resurrection of the dead, and I believe in Olam HaNeshamot, the world of souls that we have in the next world. Even for me, as a believer, it was still devastating to me when my father passed away. Because I was very close to my father. I loved my father with all my heart and all my soul, and it was devastating to me. He was such an honest man, such a decent man. I mean, just such a wonderful person to know. I can't even describe what a wonderful person to know. It was devastating to me. But we're commanded at certain times to be joyous, and sometimes it's very hard. It's very hard to fulfill that commandment, but Judaism wants us to be happy at certain times, including on certain holidays and on the Sabbath, because we have to remember always, we must never forget that God, the thing we should be joyous about, no matter how bad things get in this world, the real ruler of the world, the real ruler of the universe is Hashem, is God, and someday things will be great and will be wonderful. Someday that will happen. And we have to believe that, and we have to express our joy at certain times in order to show that we believe that and understand that. Thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.